I never thought about the universe, it made me feel small. Never thought about the problems of this planet at all. Global warming, radioactive sites, imperialistic wrongs, and animal rights. No!
Hello, this is Bill Quinn. It is April 21st, 2015. This is episode 2 of the Bill Quinn Podcast. The whole podcast is about nonprofit events and organizations that are working in New York City. Today, I'm going to be playing an interview that I had with the passionate and remarkable Angela Torregosa from the Sex Worker Project. We had a long conversation about many of the issues that sex workers face and how the Sex Worker Project is helping this very marginalized group. We also discussed their upcoming networking and fundraising event on June 11th, opportunities to get involved with the work, and some suggestions that Angela has for other nonprofits. And with that, here is my interview with Angela. So I'm here with Angela Torregosa from the Sex Worker Project. How are you?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
No, thank you for coming on. So let's get right into it. So can you tell me a little bit about your organization and how you got involved? How you got involved with the Sex Worker Project and what they do? What kind of work do they do?
Right. So basically, I'm a volunteer at the Sex Workers Project, which is a nonprofit organization that provides legal and social services for former, current sex workers, as well as victims of trafficking. So basically, I got involved in the Sex Workers Project actually before law school, during college. In order to survive, I worked as a dominatrix. And I approached the Sex Workers Project to assist me in my legal case. And they were very client sensitive. And I really felt like, you know, they were so non-judgmental and they really helped me tremendously. And so after the dust settled and my case was resolved, I thought that, you know, it made me really think about what I wanted to do in my life. And I decided that I wanted to be an advocate for others with similar experiences. And so I went to law school to become an attorney. And during law school, I interned at the Sex Workers Project. And it gave me like an inside view of to how the nonprofit organization worked. So I'm just really honored to be a part of such an amazing organization.
So it sounds like the Sex Worker Project does both advocacy work and also does work helping people who are in the sex worker industry. So is it doing two things at the same time, or is it doing more things?
So basically, the organization believes in a very holistic approach to helping their clients. So, you know, a lot of the clients have need both legal and social services. You know, for example, they need help with their current criminal case. Also, the Sex Workers Project helps them. Helps trafficking victims vacate their prostitution convictions as a result of trafficking. So, you know, in order for them to, you know, it's really helping them to move on with their lives if they do decide to leave sex work. But what's really unique about Sex Workers Project is that they assist any individual who comes to the organization asking for help, whether they do so by choice, circumstance, or coercion. So, you know, there's no, basically, you know, this is an organization that doesn't pressure them into, you know, giving up the life, you know, if they're not ready. Because, you know, we recognize that, you know, not everyone is able to do that right away when they're not ready, when they have no social services. That's why the Sex Workers Project also help clients with social services, counseling, and really just connecting them to organizations or services that will help them survive while they're working or when they choose to leave the industry.
And you're clearly an example of success that the organization does a lot of great work. And so maybe you could tell me a little bit more about some of the successes that the organization has had and some of the things some of the difference that the organization has been able to make.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I guess, like, you know, as a former client, I was really, they really helped me, like, understand, you know, the context of, you know, my legal issue. And also they were very supportive, during the legal case and after. And, you know, they allowed me to work and help other individuals that the organization serves. But apart from that, you know, apart from really connecting former clients with access to services or access to help that they need, the Sex Workers Project also, as I mentioned before, help clients with prostitution convictions to vacate them if they're a result of trafficking. In addition to that, the Sex Workers Project also does policy advocacy. We were able to, with the help of a huge coalition of other organizations, the Sex Workers Project was able to push for a bill to get passed. It's the No Condoms as Evidence bill. So before the bill, prosecutors were allowed to use condoms as evidence of prostitution.
When I was first heard about your organization and we were getting in contact to have this interview, I can admit that my first inclination was kind of, ooh, I don't know if I support everything that your organization does, but is that what I don't know, and I realized after, a moment, like, that's crazy. Why, this is a super important thing. And, so on top of every other difficulty that nonprofits work with low money and outreach and all these other problems, we had talked a little bit about, on top of all those things that make an organization kind of struggle, you have this stigma kind of attached not only to the people that you're trying to help, but also just your nonprofit in general. It's kind of has a stigma that might come with it that also makes it difficult to get people involved or to donate. So maybe talk a little bit about that.
Right. So, until fairly recent, actually, organizations such as Sex Workers Project were not eligible for government funding because of the anti-prostitution pledge that these organizations were forced to sign. Basically, these funding organizations are prohibited from putting money into organizations that help sex workers. However, that's recently changed. And now I think with, the awareness about sex trafficking and really just how important that issue is to, it has helped organizations such as Sex Workers Project to get the funding that they needed because, it's, as you said, a lot of organizations that help marginalized individuals, they have this added stigma. They're helping sex workers who in our society are, one of the most marginalized segments in our society. And they really, at that point, they really lack funding already. No one really wants to, give money to them. And then the government even doesn't provide money. So, you know, it's like you said, like it's like an added hurdle to all the challenges, the many challenges of managing a nonprofit or sustaining a nonprofit.
So there's this, you know, and there's this cycle. Obviously, we're talking about people who particularly people who are trafficking and people who are sex workers are obviously on some level struggling. And this is an organization trying to help people to stop that struggle. And so therefore, which seems like it's not everybody wants to help, should want to help that.
Yeah, for example, like even like I have a recent case right now. This is, you know, because I'm a criminal defense attorney and immigration attorney, you know, by day, and I do all this nonprofit work in my free time. But I actually were assisting this client who had one prostitution arrest, and she had to resort to sex work because she was like, you know, she was supporting four children in Mexico, who she's had with a very abusive husband. She was a victim of abuse, growing up, and basically like she had, you know, she didn't really have skills, you know, that, you know, she didn't go to school, and, you know, with, you know, growing up from an abusive environment, you know, men really just preyed upon her. And so she thought like, you know, what do I have? You know, what can I do? And so for her, like, you know, that was something that, you know, I guess was attractive to people, and that she thinks is something that, you know, she can make money from. And really, like, she really had no resources, and she was undocumented. And so it's really a struggle, you know. I mean, all of us struggle on a daily basis. But I think for this, you know, marginalized population, the struggle is like super real, you know. It's like, it's really like, where am I going to get, you know, my next meal? Or where are my children going to get their next meal if I don't make any money to send them? So, you know, it's really a survival. It's a survival issue, you know.
So you have a fundraising event coming up on June 11th.
Yes.
So what is it? And how can people, tell me a little bit about it. Where is it going to be? And just give us some of the details about what you're doing.
Yay. So basically people can go on the Sex Workers Project website, which is sexworkersproject.org. And, you know, they can donate, on that page. They can also find, the link to the event, which is called Empower 2015. And this will be on June 11th. At Taj 2 in Meatpacking, Taj Lounge on 48 West 21st Street. So we have early bird tickets until April 23rd. So if you're sure that you're going to come, buy it right away. So basically this fundraising event is really to celebrate the work that we do, and also to celebrate the clients that we've helped, and to support to celebrate the people who have joined the coalition, really to celebrate the successes that, you know, that we've all had. It's a 2-hour open bar, and they have hors d'oeuvres as well, so it should be fun.
Great. This is not the first time that you've done this a couple times, or is this the first time you were?
Yeah, this is the second. This is the second year that we're doing it. Last year was like a packed house. It sold out way, way before the day, which is really exciting. I feel like, you know, that's just really proof that, you know, people want to support this type of project. You know, people want to support this cause, and that it gives us hope that, you know, people are really more open-minded and more, I guess, progressive thinking when it comes to helping others.
Speaking of helping others, you mentioned earlier that you also might be, I mean, you were open to the idea of people volunteering for the sex worker project.
Yeah,
if someone
yeah.
wanted to, if someone's listening and they want to volunteer, what kind of opportunities do you have and what do they do to get involved?
I mean, as you know, nonprofit organizations always need volunteers to be sustainable. They can just, they want interns, legal interns to help out with immigration work, with post-conviction work, social workers. Just hit us up, email or call, and hopefully we'll get to meet them and, get them to start helping us.
Excellent. So I'm going to end with one last question, which is from everything that you've done all the years that you've been working with the nonprofits, what is something that you can kind of pass on to other people who are in the nonprofit industry or looking to get into the nonprofit industry? What's something that you could share that from all of your experience that other people from other nonprofits?
I think it would be really two things. One would be to, just the importance of building a coalition and really engaging people that, for example, even people or organizations that you don't necessarily think would, would support your cause. But really, showing people the big picture as to why they should support your cause. For example, with the No Condoms is Evidence bill, we engaged health organizations because really this is a public health issue. And we engaged other advocates. And so I think, that's very important when, for example, when you're, advocating for certain policies is to really paint the big picture and get a lot of people involved in your cause. And the second, note would be to use the media, social media in particular, to really publicize the cause, to publicize the work that the nonprofit organization does. Because nonprofit organizations do such tremendous work and really spreading the word through social media, engaging the youth. That's why I was I was so pleased that to be involved in your podcast, because this is such an amazing way to really connect people and nonprofits and build coalition to help with and engage a broader audience into, engaging them in what you want to achieve.
Yeah, that's the idea. And quickly, before you go, tell me about your own personal website.
So if you guys want to check some, some art with a social justice twist, you can look me up, venusinorbit.nyc.
Very good. All right. And all that stuff will be on the on my blog as well. So if you got to the podcast another way, you can go to my blog, the Bill Quinn podcast.blogspot, and you can find links to everything that we mentioned here today. All right. Very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And that's it. So usually I'm going to try to keep this podcast a little bit shorter, but we had so much to talk about that it was really hard to keep it any shorter than it was right there. So thank you for listening. I'd like to thank, of course, Angela Torregosa and the Sex Worker Project for giving me a chance to speak to them. I'd also like to thank Jacqueline Reyes, who actually connected Angela and I together for this podcast. So thank you, Jacqueline. And if you are a nonprofit organization in New York City and you have an event coming up or you would just like to be featured, please get in contact with me. My website is thebillquinnpodcast.blogspot.com. You can also follow us at Twitter to get updates on the latest episodes at @BQuinnPodcast. I think that's it. I look forward to having you listen to our next episode, which will be in about a week or so. All right. Have a good night.